book of Isaiah. We are still working with our live streaming, and we've got a new microphone we're trying out. It's actually an old microphone, but they've reworked on it. And if you've been watching live stream, sometimes it messes up in different things, and we're trying to get that straightened out. If you're watching right now, bear with us. Sometimes you have to read lips if I leave the pulpit area. And y'all don't know what it's like trying to make me stand here. And it doesn't work well. And I told Brother Calvin, I said, "No, Sunday I'm not going to leave the pulpit area. I'll stay right there where this mic could pick it up." Well, y'all know how that went, right? So I've had to repent to him two or three times for lying. But special prayer request. How many remember Sunday night I mentioned a little something about a family in Lawrenceburg? Well, the Lord's kindly working on that a little bit, and actually, Brother Jim and Sister Sandy and Rochelle, myself, are going to go up and meet with the Johnsons on Monday. I've talked to them on the phone. I just want to know how serious they are about a church in their community. You know, a lot of people say that, but that doesn't necessarily really want that. You know, it's a good excuse because there's not one handy. I can just miss a little bit. And so I want to know where they stand, if they're really serious about this. And they said they are, and they're praying about it. And so I've shared with a few other pastors, and I've even thought about if it'll work out, we'll go up there at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Brother Jim and I will tag team a little bit just to see what kind of interest we can get in that community. Lawrenceburg's a big area, and there's other churches there. And I don't know anything about Lawrenceburg, so I'm trying to find that out. I do know another family that I used to pastor that's went up there, and they told me the same thing, ended up joining another church, but wasn't quite like they were used to. So, what we need this church to do is to really be praying about this. If it's God's will for a work to be there, then it may be God's will for us to be able to do the work there. Actually be able to sponsor that and get somebody up there who can work. But in the meantime, we've got Bobby, Brother Jim, and myself that can tag team in and out, and they're both just chomping at the bits to preach, so I don't think it'll be a problem. And when I did mission work in Belize, we did it that way. We started like that, kind of Bible study kind of thing, and if it turned into something, then we went on with it. So, but here's the thing. Except God build the house, we labor in vain that build it. If this ain't God's plan, then my prayer is, Lord, shut every door, and I don't want to be a part of it. If it is God's plan, give us the faith to do what we've got to do to be able to help. So, I need this church behind that same prayer, okay? So how many will share that prayer? Alright, that's half of you. If I can get the other half on board, we'll be in good shape. So I want you to pray about that. We're going to meet with them Monday, just talk to them and see. It's 46 miles, I think, where they live. That's how far they drive. And he shared with me Sunday, it's just not feasible. And they get in late from work. The time they get in late from work, they can't make the drive. And so they're just not getting what they need. And I can understand that. And I want to pray that, Lord, if it's a place for us, we can help, then we want to do that. All right. Now, this message has nothing to do with that, but you're going to find out it really ties into what we've talked about. So Isaiah chapter 6. I love being a student of the Bible. I shared something with Brian a while ago that I'm going to share with all of you. I wish I could tell you that when I'm upset, that I just run and read my Bible. But that's not usually what happens. And I share with Brian today that When I get bothered, I get stressed out, I get burdened down, if I try to read my Bible under those circumstances, I don't get much. So what I usually do is I usually listen to some music. And I really think music is part of worship. If you read the Psalms, the whole book of Psalms is music. It's Psalms and hymns. And the Bible tells us that's how we are to worship God. So my personal life, when I'm having a tough time or a stressed out time, I usually listen to music, and then from there, I go into reading my Bible. And I found out that it really works good that way for me. When I was reading my Bible this week, I come across a thought that I really never paid that close attention to. And maybe all of you have done got that, but I got it this week and I wanted to share it with you. So if you haven't already got it, then you can get it when I get it this week. If you've already got it, play along with me. Alright? And that make me act like I've really come on to something and you're all excited about what I'm telling you, okay? Because that'll help me be able to get this out. Does that sound good? Some of you are just like that close to a coma. Verse 1, Isaiah 6. Now this is familiar, but I want to read it to you just to get the whole concept in our mind. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, also the Lord, sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, just pause for a second. The world I live in looks like it's devil infested. The news, I was at the hospital for Aaron on Monday. How many have really, and I don't want to get into politics, so Lord help me not get in politics tonight, amen. How many has researched any about Obamacare? About four hands like this. Y'all are scared to let everybody know. Well, I got a little bit of first-hand knowledge on it, accidentally. We're at the hospital, and it's all about computers while we were there. It's like crazy, because I'd just been to the hospital like a week and a half before that, and it wasn't like that. And then we go to the doctor's the next day, and I'm used to that doctor coming and joking around. Well, they got two nurses, they're packing laptops, and I said, what's going on? She said, Obamacare. And I said, well, tell me what the whole gist of this thing is. And she said, here's what Obamacare is. Obamacare links every hospital, every doctor's office, every pharmacy in the United States of America to one computer. And guess what that computer is? Washington, D.C. Obama can go on the internet right now, WC, and you think you've got client privilege, right? He can find out what medicines you're taking. He has that power in our country, and all the other legislators up there in this country have the ability, if they're part of our government, to get online and find out what Brother Greg's been treated for, what his medications are, and all that stuff. I disagree with all that. I don't think it's the president's, I don't think it's any of his business what I'm sending my doctor for. But let me tell you a secret, folks. Y'all don't get to talk about this, it's a done deal. So y'all pay close attention when you go to the doctors and stuff, that all this stuff is in there, and they're all, it takes them, this is what our nurse told me yesterday. In the time that we see 40 patients normally, now we're seeing 20. And she told me that a lot of doctors have quit because they don't want to fool with it. And some of them are working for hospitals and stuff, and the private clinics have closed down because they don't want to deal with all this stuff. Now, how'd this get into the message? Well, I want you to see, this man, King Uzziah, was a powerful man, but he's a Christian man. And when you lose that kind of influence, it really affects the Christian people. And King Uzziah died, and this is really starting to affect Isaiah. And this is what he said. He said, the whole earth is full of his glory. You and I gotta look through the junk. The Obamacare's and all that stuff. And we've got to understand that God is here. That's right. Amen. And the Bible says that the streams and the handiwork reminds us that there's a God. And I'm coming home from town this afternoon. I seen a red fox, Brother Richard, run through the pasture field. I stopped the van, he stopped. He bowed up and looked. He is as pretty a red as you ever saw. That white was shining. And you know what, Vicki? I know there's a God.
That's right. Amen.
There's a God.
And
if we're not careful, we forget that this whole earth is full of God's glory. We let the dirty overcover the glory of God. And we as God's people got to uncover that and say, listen, Obamacare or not, God's got this. I'm telling you, Trump's the White House and Obama and the Senate and what's the judge that we're worried about, the Supreme Court? It's God.
That's right. Amen.
It's all under His throne. And you and Isaiah start saying this whole earth is full of His glory. Now that's not even a message, but it sounded good anyway, didn't it? And the post of the door, verse 4, moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. If you and I could understand that we serve a God, just the voice of Him could move stuff. Because it did when He started all this. He spoke it into existence. Wow. Then He says this. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, what is it? Alright. Let me give you a quick something, then let me give you a message, okay? Here's a quick something just to jot down and remember. If you want to have what Isaiah's got in this lesson, let me tell you what you've got to have. First of all, you've got to have an upward look. An upward look. An upward look. There goes 10 people to check that door that's just shut. It's all right. Somebody get it. They're robbing us downstairs. We're good. God got us. An upward look is going to start causing you to have an inward look. You will never see yourself. Listen. You can walk out here tonight and be convinced you're one of the best Christians that's ever lived. And in your mind, you may be assured of that. But you'll never, ever know yourself like you really should until you get a good look at God.
Amen.
And just as soon as he saw God, and he realized who God was, Todd, he started looking at himself. You know the first thing he said? What was me? There's not a person in this building that deserves what God has given us.
Amen.
The glory, the grace. I've always wanted to preach up a storm. It's good, ain't it? Y'all hang on. It's going to get better. It's going to be lightning and everything. But let me tell you what happened. Now, I'm serious about this. When you get an inward look, after you've had an upward look, you're going to start getting an outward look. What's missing in most of our churches is an outward look. But I want to tell you why it is happening. Because most of us ain't looking upward enough. We read our Bibles because that's what we're supposed to do. But most of the time we're not in the right mindset to read our Bibles. So let me show you what I discovered for myself this week in this lesson. See, a lot of people come to me and they say, preacher, I don't know what it is God wants me to do. You keep saying God's got something for all of us to do. But I don't know what it is God wants me to do. I want to talk tonight about volunteering. This is kind of a crazy message. But I want you to look at the last verse of this scripture we just read. After he had this upward look and an inward look and an outward look, look what he said in verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Can I be honest and tell y'all something tonight that may bust a bubble or two? Sometimes God don't put a name on who He's calling. Sometimes he just needs a volunteer. I know, Brother Owens, in 1982, November 1st, that God was calling me. But He never called me by my name. He needs somebody to do it. Now Moses, I read that. He said Moses. But sometimes He don't call her name. And you know why I think He does that, Brother John? Because if He called Brother John, then Brother John may start thinking, well, hey, Brother John's special. God needs volunteers. He just said, who will go for us? The God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit's all gathered up together, and they said, who will go for us? I need a volunteer. And you know what Isaiah said? Here am I. Send me. Now, I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight just about what got him there and maybe what might be keeping you from being a volunteer. I believe everybody in this church needs to be volunteering. I do. We've got too many people who just like to come and go. Now I'm telling you, I'm not saying this for my benefit. If you volunteer, it ain't going to help me out one bit, really. Technically, it probably ain't going to help me any. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to help. It's going to help you a bundle.
That's right. Amen.
And it's going to help some other people a whole bunch because by you volunteering, it's going to cause some other people probably to volunteer. Let me show you about three things that maybe you can get. First of all, I put down the need. As long as you go to church and you don't ever see a need, you'll never volunteer. I think a lot of people want the pastor or some deacons to give them a job. The most dangerous thing about me giving you a job is it may not be what God has got you qualified for. Believe it or not, He doesn't write stuff out. I think that Bobby would make a great preacher. Here, you tell him he's called. Nope, that's not how that happens. I pray. He's battling. But you know what? That's between him and God. He's got to make that call. He's got to make that decision. Jim says, I feel like God wants me to come back here. I'm excited about Brother Jim coming back here, but I can't tell Brother Jim. Brother Jim, you know, God told me the same thing. You need to be back here. That ain't how God works. God will give us a burden, but you know what? There has to be a need.
Right.
Now, when we think about the need, let me show you the first thing you got to have is faith. You listen to me. Now, y'all are not going to believe me, but I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? You will never, ever be able to really show your faith if you become a volunteer and do something for God. You can talk about it, Brother Greg, but until you step up and take a position that maybe you don't have time for, that's when the faith starts sticking in. And maybe you don't even feel like you're qualified. Maybe there's a whole bunch of things. And I think a lot of times this happens, Brother Jim. A lot of people say, well, I don't know if I could actually do that job or not. Let me help you, okay? Go ahead and volunteer.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it, then tell the pastor, listen, this ain't my cup of tea. I'm not expecting Brother Jim is probably going to take care of 3 to 5 year olds. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you what kind of God Brother Jim is. Brother Jim would probably say, you know what, nobody else is going to do it, I'll do it. But I think for it ain't going to be long, he's going to come up. Josiah, I'm going to kill him probably. Can y'all bleep that out? But at least he's willing to volunteer. You're never going to know until you step up and try it. Now let me give you a scripture. Go with me to 1 Samuel. I got to give you a couple of scripture just to keep you awake and focused. You know, listen, If I let you out right now, you'd have to walk out and I was pouring down rain. You wouldn't want that anyway. This is a good place just to sit and hang out for a few minutes. 1 Samuel 17, I want you to see this. How many now know where I'm going with this volunteer? Do you know that Isaiah volunteered? He wasn't like called. He volunteered. God said, I need somebody. And Isaiah said, I'll go. Look at this story. 1 Samuel 17:32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Do you think God said, now David, I need you to go kill Goliath. You know what, Greg? I've read this story. He never said that. But he got there. There was a need. And what did he do? He volunteered. You know why? Because he's willing to stretch out and try his faith. If you never volunteer for something for God, you'll never test your faith. God wants you to work your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Bible says in that same verse, for He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You and I today, if we volunteer for something that may be a little scary or maybe make us a little nervous, it's going to be good for us because it's going to cause us to pray a little bit extra and it's going to cause us to have some faith. When you depend upon yourself, that's the most dangerous thing in the world. If Brother Bobby starts preaching different churches and he starts putting sermons together that's not God's sermons, he's going to find out them are not going to go very well. The ones he prayed over and the ones he worried over and the one he's still not sure about as he walks to the pulpit, boy, that's going to be the one that's going to have some oil on it, brother. And God's going to bless you. You know why? Because you're going to depend on God for the whole thing. That's what we got to have. We need some volunteers to test some faith. We've got a lot of stuff. Listen, God has opened the doors at this church for things to happen. Brother Bobby's been talking to some Spanish people and he's already got like 10 people that would come for a Spanish service. We're talking about August the 5th over there about 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock, right? 9 o'clock in the morning. Have a Spanish service for 10 Spanish people. Why not?
Amen, that's right.
I'd say with Ben Bobby together with our Spanish, we could probably sell him a car anyway, brother. We're hoping to have a little help with that. But you know what? God's opening doors. We can say it like this. Well, I don't know. You know, those Spanish people, Ingrid, they're bad people. You got to watch them. I don't know. They're probably just coming for a donut. Or we can have faith and think, you know what? This might be an opportunity. Bobby and I probably ain't going to go to Mexico tomorrow, but we can preach right here to some people who might get saved. What? But you got to have some faith with that. You'd be surprised what God may be wanting to do at this church if we were just willing to volunteer. But you got to see the need first. And you got to have some faith. I put also with that, influence. You know, when you volunteer, you influence others. Last year, we had a visitation. And Brother W.C. came with us. I don't know if Brother W.C. understands this or not, but him coming that one visitation encouraged about 10 people. Because I think Brother W.C. said, I have never really done this like this before door to door. This is my first time. And you know what? Everybody in the world said, really? And you know what? They realized they was in the same boat he was. He influenced them. And some of them same people are still visiting people. You volunteering will influence somebody else. That's the only way it's going to happen, though. Now, I also put down this. Fellowship. Now, I'm going to agree with you on this. I like fellowshipping with food. I mean, especially like right now, if anybody wants to fellowship with me, we're probably going to hit Taco Bell after a while. And we'll have a big fellowship up there if that's all right. I mean, we'll eat tacos and we'll have a good time. But let me tell you what the best fellowship is. When you volunteer for something, maybe it's a nursery. Maybe you volunteer to work this nursery and you're working with somebody that you go to church with but you've never been with them. And you sit down there with about five little babies and you get to know that person. That's fellowship.
That's right.
You're out on visitation with the group, passing out vacation Bible school flyers. But you've never been with Todd. You see Todd, you know who he is. He's got them three pretty little kids and one on the way. But you'll never know Todd until you fellowship with him.
Right.
And sometimes it's not a taco. It's volunteering for something and getting out there and working. We need volunteers because that's going to help build fellowship. Let me show you number two, how to volunteer. How many of you realize why we need to volunteer? I want to tell you simply why you need to volunteer. This world is full of people that's going to hell.
Amen.
That's why you need to volunteer. In every aspect of life, there's volunteers. There's volunteers at the hospital. There's volunteers at the animal shelters. Beth, how much you get paid doing this job, this finding dogs for everybody? How many hours do you spend?
More than I do.
But I'm serious. I mean, do you put some time in? Tell me why. I'm interested. Why in the world? I mean, this world's full of dogs. What's one more dog biting the dust going to matter? I don't want to get you tore up or anything, but I done hit a nerve. Good Lord, help us, Lord. Why are you putting all this time in?
Well, they're God's creatures, and I don't want to see them just thrown by the wayside like trash.
Do you think you're helping?
Yeah.
When somebody gets a dog, how is it? Oh, I got a dog. That looks like a pretty good dog. That'll work for us.
Yeah, pretty much. Not always. It's going to be a fit.
Is somebody excited sometimes? Mm-hmm. And you're excited when they walk out there and say, that's good. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, in this world, there's full of volunteers. I've volunteered as a police chaplain. I've volunteered as a fire chaplain. I have volunteered as a hospice chaplain. I have volunteered as a funeral chaplain. Go and do funerals with people I've never even met before. But you know why? Because there's a need. There's people out there who does not know the love of God. They don't know about Jesus who died for their sins. And the only way I know to get that word out, Brother Owens, is for me to volunteer as much as I can. Now, if we can volunteer for all these other things in the world, how about volunteering for the greatest job in the world, working for God?
Amen.
Can you think of a better thing to work for than to volunteer for God to do something in His church? Right?
All right.
How to volunteer? Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. This is my. I got one more scripture after this one. Hang on. It's still raining. You're all right. It's dry. Nehemiah chapter 2. I want you to see this. Nehemiah 2. I've done a little research on this guy. Nehemiah is slowly but surely becoming one of my favorite readers. I love to read after this guy. And I'm going to tell you some things while we go. Look at verse 3. Now remember, he's a cupbearer. That's his job. His job is to keep the cup full, keep it before the king. He's playing this role. He's been taken captive. He said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lie waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Now look at the next verse. Then the king said unto me, for why dost thou make requests? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Let me tell you about this guy, Nehemiah. He's got a burden for a city. And I've read this story a bunch. And I've always assumed that he was raised there and he got taken away and he went back to check on it and he saw the disaster. Well, here's what I found out. He never lived there. Bob, Bobby, he's got a vision and a burden for a place he's never even been before. How big? Big enough to volunteer. He feels a responsibility. Can I ask you all an honest question? I'm going to tell you why my life's been changing for the last month. Why I'm trying to move and why I'm giving Sherry my chickens. Alright? I feel a sense of responsibility. All of a sudden, I don't feel like I can do what I need to do from Nancy, Kentucky. I feel like the only way I can help Danville, where I pastor and where I preach and where I'm trying to reach these kids and their parents to the Lord, is if I live among them. And if I can talk to them, if I can bump into them at the store, if I can see them on the street, if I can pay my electric bill while they're paying their electric bill, I can pay my speeding, I mean, not the speeding tickets, but, you know, we can see each other in places. I feel a sense of responsibility. Can I ask you all an honest question? Because a lot of you drive here. Do you have a responsibility for Danville? Do you feel it? I mean, you pull into this place and you see the bars and you see the drunks. Does it bother you? Does it burden you? What we need as a church, because we're sitting right here on this corner, is we need a vision and a burden for this city.
Amen. That's right.
What do y'all think? Lamentations 3:51. My favorite verse in the Bible. My eye affecteth my heart because of daughters of my city. I'm telling you today, I've never seen Danville like I've been seeing it lately. It's because all of a sudden I have a sense of responsibility. I pastor Danville. I don't pastor W.C. Brogle in Ida May. I pastor Danville, Kentucky. And I have to have that sense of responsibility to realize this is a big place. And it's going to take all hands on deck. You say, we got 3 or 4 preachers now. Praise God, we need 2 more. Because I done named enough ministries tonight to cover 5. You and I, we need volunteers. We need a sense of responsibility. Alright, y'all ready for like a good little short punch, just a little chop? Go with me to Mark 10. Mark 10. I'm close to the end. I'm learning how to do devotionals from Bobby. Bobby had to give a devotional Thursday and he said, "Brother, I don't know if I can just..." I said, "Preach, brother. Just go ahead and preach." "Oh, I'm not saying I'm going to preach." He preached. It was good.
Amen.
We don't believe in devotionals anyway, do we? Mark 10. Mark 10. Let me read you one verse and then we'll get you to the conclusion of this, the rest of these verses. Let me tell you how much God loves us. He loves us enough to include a lot of stuff that He was going through in His ministry with His people so you and I would understand that we're no different. And here, He had 12 that were called by Him. He called them. Remember, I said sometimes He doesn't call by name. But in the 12, He called them. He called them. Here's 12 called men. And I want you to read with me. Well, let me start with verse 37. This is James and John, sons of thunder. Then said unto him, this is James and John, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory." So right off the bat, here's what they do. They say, "Now Jesus, if it be all right, when we get to heaven, we know you got a throne and everything there. I want to sit on one side and my brother sit on the other." That's a good request. Now Jesus flips it on him and he says, "Now listen, you don't know what you're asking. Do you think you can go through what I've got to go through in order to get to where I got to go?" And they said, "Oh yeah, we can do that." And Jesus said, "Well, you know what? You're going to get a chance." And we know that these men all got martyred. They all got killed. But the part I want you to see is verse 42. But Jesus called them to Him after He then gave them this little scenario and told them about how they got to be prepared and everything. He says this unto them, "You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." You know what I think possibly might be one of the lower jobs in this church? Probably the one I got. My job is to minister to you. That means whatever the needs are of Richard, if I can help in any way, I'm supposed to minister to that need. Now, a lot of pastors this day and time don't understand that. But that's exactly what God meant. And He's, you know what? These guys are going to be ministers. They're going to be the lowly of the lowly. They're going to be imprisoned. And they're going to have all kinds of things happen. He says in verse 44, "Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." This is a real good verse to get. "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." I can tell everybody in this congregation today, every one of us need to be servants. And we don't need to be the Martha kind of servants. See, we're not talking about volunteering. Sometimes it's the same people volunteering for everything. And what happens is you get cumbered about with much doing and you burn out and burn up. And this is not what God wants. God wants us all to become servants of each other. And therefore, when you pull into the parking lot, I wonder why Mike Carell ain't mowed the dadgum grass yet. You know why? Because it's your grass too. Amen. Whose grass is it, honestly? Is it Mike's? Well, it's his job. No, it's not. He's volunteered to do that. He's not getting paid a dime. But you know what? You pass it by and you got a day off and lawnmower happens to be behind you, you're not going to hurt Mike's feelings. Where's Miss Karen at? Going to hurt Mike's feelings if they mow the grass? Absolutely not. Wonder why somebody ain't picking up. Look, that I see a piece of paper up here. Why ain't Karen got that? It's my piece of paper, too, right?
That's right.
I think when we understand that this church is our church,
yeah,
not Brother Steve's and Brother Jim's church, not Mike's and Karen, this is your church. And it's going to be what you make of it. And if things ain't getting done, listen. How many of you, don't raise your hand. This could almost get to meddling. How many of you have ever went home and complained a little bit about what's going on at church? Don't raise your hand. You know what you should do? Figure out how to fix it. Well, Brother Steve, you're the main problem. If you'd leave, we can fix it. Well, we'll work on that. Pray him out. No, I'm serious though. If you've ever went home and complained about what's going on in church, then what you need to do is figure out how to fix it. And maybe you're volunteering. Maybe what we need. I do believe that I ain't got time to go into all this. I challenge you to read Romans 12. I challenge you to read 1 Corinthians 12. Can I tell y'all something? I do not believe in the gifts of miracles and tongues and all that anymore. I believe that was done away just like 1 Corinthians 13 says when the Bible was completed. But I do believe in manifestational gifts and abilities. I'm going to tell you something. God has gave every one of you an ability that's saved here in this building today to do something for Him that people can see God through you. That's what He meant by letting your light so shine. Some of you have the ability with numbers. You're probably doing the jobs you need to be doing. Some of you, Brother Mike, listen. Brother Mike don't want to lead singing. Brother Mike loves working outside in that yard. He loves the flowers. He loves that stuff. I've known Brother Mike a long time. And I'm telling you something. Brother Mike loves doing that kind of thing. And I think God shines through Brother Mike doing that stuff, don't you? Painting and fixing stuff and flowers. I mean, God's using him. But you've got to realize that God wants to use you the same way. Let me say this before I quit. What I should do as a volunteer is simple. I should not murmur. I might want to write that down. Not murmur. Do you know that there's more messages about the children of Israel when God was mad at them, when they were murmuring, than there's more messages about anything else about the children of Israel? Every time they murmured, God said, okay. God don't like murmuring. Now I wrote this down. I want to read it like I wrote it because sometimes they don't say what I mean. Y'all know what I'm saying? You need to be an asset, not a liability. What does an asset do? When somebody says, what's your assets? What's your liability? What's the assets do? Assets are what? Worth. Can I ask y'all something today? I want you to think about this statement. If you were to leave Unity Baptist Church today, what would we miss? See, if you're an asset, you leave Unity Baptist Church or you miss Unity services, it's noticeable really fast.
Right.
If you're a liability, it's not noticed. Pretty good, isn't it? If you left, you said, I'm done, what would we miss? See, you're the only person that can answer that. What are you putting in here? What are you adding to this? And it's not to Brother Steve, it's to God.
Amen.
This is His work.
Right.
And He talks about being a body. He wants you to put out to the very best of your ability. Not just half-heartedly. I ask you tonight, is there something that you need to volunteer for? Preacher, I just been thinking about it. I had somebody get mad at me Sunday, but the problem was, she'd volunteered for every job was already taken. I'm not like going to go fire somebody. Well, you're done. I want to put her in. There's other jobs. Volunteer for something that's not being done. And see if God will use you there. Let's stand and pray. Let's have an invitation, Brian. Heavenly Father,